The final point is the evidence for Jesus' resurrection is convincing. I'm using the word convincing in the legal sense. Convincing beyond a shadow of the doubt. Convincing in the preponderance of the evidence points to the fact that he was dead and that he rose from the dead. See, the question is, are there hard facts that you could put in any court of law then or now that really prove and demonstrate beyond reasonable doubt? Or is this resurrection wishful thinking? Is it just, you know, a few fringe fanatics that want to believe it and have perpetuated myth and legend all these years? Let's look at the evidence. First, it was predicted by Old Testament prophets. In other words, it wasn't new. Hundreds of years before the prediction of a Messiah who would be king, who would be a servant, and he would rise from the dead. Second, Jesus predicted it openly and numerously. See, it's real different. These groups and their books and these cults and all these things, they always have some secret something. Jesus, from day one, you chart the book of Mark, the earliest New Testament document. First eight chapters are his life, his life, his life, his work. Chapter eight, I'm going to the cross. After 3 days, I'm going to die. The rest of the book documents him trying to convince the disciples and the public, I'm going to die and I'm going to raise from the dead. That's the game plan. It was open. It was public. It was taught. Third, he appeared 12 different times to over 500 witnesses. This isn't like one guy with a little group and then he came back to four or five followers and said, I'm alive, I'm alive, go tell everybody. And then those five guys go, hey, he's alive, he's alive. And they're saying, you know, get a life. You know, you five guys are deluded. It wasn't five guys. It was over 500 over a period of 40 days, 12 different times. And I know what you're saying. But he only appeared to the people who wanted him to be the Messiah, who wanted him to be God anyway. Wrong. He appeared to James, his brother. James was an unbeliever. James was a skeptic. Can you imagine growing up with Jesus? Can you imagine maybe like his teenage years, he's working on a few of his sermons. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. How's that sound, James? No man comes to the Father except by... James didn't buy it. His whole family did not believe. He appeared in resurrected body to James. And if that wasn't good enough, he appeared to the greatest skeptic of the day. The leading intellectual of the day, Saul of Tarsus, trained under the greatest Pharisee, Gamaliel. A persecutor of the church. A man who was responsible for the murders and imprisonment of the church of the way. A great mind, a Jewish scholar. A hater of the church, Jesus appeared to him, resurrected. He became a follower. See, the evidence, as you begin to place it one on top of another, and then notice he appeared in multiple locations, multiple times, because some will say, well, it was a hallucination. You know, it's kind of like you're in a desert and, you know, a mirage. I get 500 people don't hallucinate. I did some research and psychologists say it would be a greater miracle for 500 people over a 40-day period to all come up with the same dream or hallucination. That would be better one than the resurrection itself. I mean, it's like me coming in here and saying, oh man, I had this awesome dream last night. Boy, what'd you think about it? Great, huh? What's the problem? You didn't have the same dream. People don't hallucinate en masse. We just hallucinate one person at a time. And we don't hallucinate exactly the same thing. The evidence goes on, the transformation of the disciples. This fearful little group that when a little girl says, excuse me, aren't you one of him? No, never seen him. Then he stands up and says, he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent this day for the forgiveness of your sins. We'll put you in jail. Peter says, go ahead. Never before has a small band of uneducated, untrained men rocked the world as these disciples. What happened between fearful Peter and forceful Peter? I'll tell you what happened. They met the resurrected Christ. And where did it happen? The first 25 years of the growth of the church, it all happened right in Jerusalem. This isn't like one of those cult leaders, you know, you have this thing that happened over in India, Maharabi, Mabinubi, whatever his name is, and he supposedly did all these things, and his teachers come over here and they charge us for seminars, and this is how it all happens. Who can verify any of that? Nobody. Nobody. Get your thinking cap on. This happened 25 years right where it happened. You want to find out whether he rose from the dead? You want to talk to some of the people? Bob knows. Sally, George, Fred, they all saw him. 40-day period, we saw him. Yeah, I'll tell you what. We were fishing one day. See, it's historical. It's verifiable. It happened right where you could test it. The disciples go on willingly to knowingly die for a lie, inconceivable. Now, I know what you're thinking. You say, well, wait a minute, Chip. Other religions, they die, don't they? Don't other religions die for their beliefs? Of course they do. We know of people that will strap TNT on their chest, get in a Jeep, and run into a Marine barracks and be blown up thinking, I'll be in paradise tomorrow. People will die for what they believe is true, but mark this and mark this well. No one will die for what they know for certain is a lie. And the only explanation for propagating the resurrection is the disciples stole the body. Because the Jews or the Romans, if they could have come up with a body, we would not be here today. They'd put it on downtown Main Street, Jerusalem, and say, hey, there it is. All they're saying is not true. The evidence goes on. The conversion of Saul, the number one critic. The transformation of the Roman Empire. Here you've got an empire with polytheism, and by the 4th century, Christianity is a state religion. Hundreds of thousands of people turning to Christ. Women, out of the result of Christianity, went from being non-persons, slaves, non-persons, to people because of the church, having leadership in the church. Values like mercy, compassion, and love became virtues. In the Roman Empire, it was power, pride, and prestige. And crushing people said, great! And did the teaching of Jesus turn the world upside down? And he's been doing it for how many years? 2,000.